Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and the scribes began to complain. They said, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them, Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that's coming to me." So the father divided up the property between his sons. And after a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and he set off to a distant country and he squandered his inheritance on loose living. And when he freely spent everything, a severe famine struck the country and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens who sent him to his farm to work with the swine. And he longed to eat the fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him anything. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough to eat? But here am I, dying of hunger. I shall get up, go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up and he went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him, was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and he kissed him. And his son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered the servants, 'Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fatted calf and kill it. And let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and he's come to life again. He was lost and now he's found.' Then the celebration began. Now, the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned. Your father has slaughtered the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' And the older son became angry. He refused to enter the house. His father came out and pleaded with him and said to his father in reply, 'Look, all these years I've served you. Not once did I disobey your orders. You never even give me a young goat to feast with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, you slaughter the fatted calf.' And the father said, 'My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and he's come back to life again. He was lost and now he's found.'" The Gospel of the Lord. I entitled this sermon, "Lost and Found." You've probably all been to a store or a hotel. I remember one time I was at a hotel and I lost my visor, I lost my hat. The next day I came back and I said, "Did you ever find a hat?" And they said, "Well, why don't you look in the Lost and Found?" And I went to the Lost and Found, and sure enough, there was my little visor. Somebody had found it and they put it in the Lost and Found. And although it wasn't really valuable, it was valuable to me, I was so happy that I found my lost hat. And I remember one time my mother had a very expensive coin. It's called a Krugerrand. It's a South African gold coin worth about $1,300. She lost it, and she was so frantic. She searched all around the house until she found it. And finally, when she found it, she was so happy. It was a valuable coin worth $1,300. I remember the joy that she had when she finally found that coin, and I remember how frantic she was when she had lost the coin. And that's the sense of the parable that we have right here. Something that's lost is found. More than something, someone that's lost is now found. And there's great joy and celebration. I remember I got an email from a man recently that said, "Father, I feel lost." And I answered him by talking about Jesus and surrendering to him and how you can find new life. And perhaps some of you, as you're watching this TV program, you feel lost. This parable is for you. It's called Lost and Found. What was lost can be found. And this is one of three parables in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. First parable has to do with 100 sheep. One of them gets lost. And the shepherd leaves the 99 that aren't lost to go in search of the one that is lost. And when he finds it, he rejoices. And then there's a woman, much like my mother, that loses a coin. She has 10 coins and she loses one. And she searches the house for the coin and she finds it with great joy. And that's such a theme in the Gospel of Luke, the joy when something that was lost is found. And then, of course, in this parable of the prodigal son, some scholars call it the prodigal father. The word prodigal means reckless, wasteful. And the son was reckless and wasteful, but so was the father when he welcomed him back. Very lavish love for the son, the story of the prodigal father. So there was a great joy when the lost son was found. So I want you to know that whatever is lost in your life can be found, especially if you feel lost spiritually. You can be found. And there's great rejoicing. That's a major motif in the Gospel of Luke, a major theme in the Gospel of Luke, is that there is joy. There's greater joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over many that have no need of repentance. So I entitle this Lost and Found. This parable, the parable of the prodigal son or the prodigal father, is only found in the Gospel of Luke. Luke has all these beautiful parables of Jesus, and I want you to understand that Jesus was a great storyteller. And he told it to all kinds of different people. He would talk to fishermen about catching fish in a net. He would talk to businessmen about money. And he would talk to people like you and me about relationships, such as this parable right here. And I remember one time in my seminary training, I took a course on storytelling. Actually, I was studying at Northwestern University as part of my seminary training, studying drama and dance and acting and storytelling in order to augment my preaching. I was just starting out. And I remember in the storytelling course, there was probably about 50 people taking the course, and one of them gave me a card during the course, and the card was, he had his name on it. It was a business card, and underneath it said, "Professional Storyteller." And he was really good at telling stories. Well, Jesus wasn't a professional storyteller, but his stories were spellbinding. Stories about real life. Stories that changed lives. Stories about how to come to God. Stories about the lost being found. Stories about eternal life. And this is what captivated people in his teaching. It captured their attention. Because we all love stories. It was the preacher and author Frederick Buchner that said, "God created people because God loves stories." And we all have a story. We're all a narrative. And when we get these stories of Jesus, what we do is we take our own story and we can relate to his stories. That's what made Jesus' storytelling so captivating. Now, the context of this story that you have to get is that it says that Jesus was telling the story about the tax collectors and the sinners that were coming to him. He was telling this story to, get this now, to the Pharisees and to the scribes of the law. In other words, they were murmuring because these sinners, these poor people, these people on the fringe were eating with Jesus and coming near to him and listening to him. So they're murmuring about this. Jesus knew it. So he tells the story about the prodigal son to the religious leaders. Now, these are people who had scrupulous religion. They kept the law. They wrote the law, the scribes did. The Pharisees were meticulous about keeping the law. So in other words, they had religion. Now, it's Lent. And during Lent, most of us are very religious. Prayer, almsgiving, fasting, and doing all these different things to try to please God. We're very religious. We can be scrupulously religious. And to them and to us, Jesus is telling this parable. And what is he saying? He's saying that, yes, be religious. Yes, it's important to keep the law. But more than that, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. That's right from the prophets. And what Jesus is saying is that during Lent, people matter over everything. This is the fasting I want, the prophet Isaiah says, to feed the hungry, to clothe the poor, to take care of widows. Then if you do that, your light will shine. So Jesus tells this parable, and he's talking about people, much like he does in the Gospel of Luke with the parable of the Good Samaritan. Remember the priest and the Levite, the very religious people, they avoid this man who has been taken in by robbers and beaten up, where it's a Samaritan, an unlikely, who takes care of him. So Jesus is saying, people over sacrifice. Have you strayed and gone away from the church? Have you squandered your inheritance on loose living? Or maybe you're the elder son in the parable. The elder son hasn't gone anywhere. You go to church, you're meticulous, you keep the law, you do the obligations, and then you see somebody who's been filled with the Holy Spirit and their life has been changed. You're thinking, why doesn't that happen to me? That's what the older son is doing. When there's this big celebration, he's all angry. Or maybe you can put yourself in the story as the prodigal father. You have a child or a son who has strayed away from the faith, and you don't know if they're ever going to come back, and you're standing there watching and waiting, just like the father does. So that's the beautiful thing about Jesus's parables. You can plug yourself into his stories in many different ways. So as I said, the word prodigal means reckless, extravagant, lavish. And that's what the son was. He was reckless because he spent his inheritance. He had prostitutes. He was a partier and had loose living. But the father was reckless too, very lavish in his welcoming his son back, reckless in his mercy. So this story is about breaking boundaries, and it's about people that matter. So we know the story. I just read it to you. The younger son takes his father's inheritance, basically cutting himself off from the family. And he takes off, goes to another country, squanders it with partying and loose living, and ends up, and this is what's going to happen, you know, your sin will find you out. He ends up being poor and hungry. He had to get a job, and he starts slopping with the pigs in the mud. If you've ever been around pigs, they're very ugly type animals, and they're very noisy, and they stink. And so here's this young man slopping with the pigs in the mud, going through this tremendous suffering. And then the scripture says he came to his senses. And I don't want you to miss that. I have written a book about change. I'm always preaching about change as a Catholic priest, about conversion. And one of the key ingredients, one of the catalysts, one of the classic elements of change has to do with suffering. This young man bottomed out, and then he came to his senses. When he had the money and the partying and the prostitutes and everything else, he didn't want to change. Everything was going great for him. But when he hit rock bottom, that's when he decided to change. It was C.S. Lewis that said that God whispers in our pleasures, but he shouts in our sufferings. Suffering is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And I love that quote by C.S. Lewis. So if you're going through some type of a suffering or a pain or a tragedy or a heartache, I want you to pay attention. It may be God speaking to you, calling you to a deeper relationship with him. If you've ever experienced anything with the 12-step program, or if you know anything about it, people that finally come to admit that they're an alcoholic, they come to admit it usually through some type of a suffering, a bottoming out. These bottoming out experiences usually lead to them coming to their senses, as it says in the scripture. And they come to admit that they have a problem drinking. And again, my point is that suffering can lead to this, to a new awakening. And that's exactly what's going on in the story. To me, it's the hinge point of the story that this young man is with stinky pigs and he's hungry and he wakes up and he says, I'm going to go back to my father. Sometimes parents will come to me and they'll say, Father, my son or my daughter has left the faith. What should I do? Just pray? And I laugh because, you know, never say just pray. Prayer isn't a last option, really. It's a first defense. Prayer is so very vitally important. And not just pray. Pray with wisdom. I mean this with all due respect. Pray that your son or daughter will suffer. Suffer in the right way. So that they'll wake up, know their need of God, and come back. That's exactly what happened in the life of St. Francis of Assisi. St. Francis is arguably the greatest saint that ever lived. I love him. He's my favorite saint. But he wasn't always a saint. St. Francis, much like the prodigal, he grew up with a wealthy father who is a clothing merchant in Assisi, Italy. And during his youth, he loved to party. He loved the girls. And they called him the dancer. So he had a lot of passion. He had a lot of energy. Well, what happened was, probably 18, 19, 20 years old, still pretty young, the city of Assisi got into a war, a city-state war with Perugia. And St. Francis, not St. Francis at the time, but Francis, he got involved with the war. And wouldn't you know, he got held captive. He got captured by the other side. And he got put into a cave, a dungeon, for a whole year. It was the worst year of his life. And it changed his personality. He went from being superficial to the supernatural. He had the beginning of a conversion because of his sufferings. Finally, after that year in prison, he was let out. The war was over. And his friends said, come on, Francis, let's go out and party like we always used to and everything. And you know, you're the dancer and all that type. No, he had changed. Instead of partying, he sought God. Instead of dancing, he turned to prayer. He had had a major conversion, and he would never look back. His father, a wealthy clothing merchant, wanted him to live a lavish lifestyle, but he wanted to embrace what he called lady poverty, a life of simplicity. In fact, in the town square, in the piazza, he stripped himself naked before the bishop and his father, gave his clothes back, and he said, from now on, I have no father but my father in heaven. Wow, what a radical conversion. So he came to his senses through suffering. And Francis, as you know, has arguably been the greatest saint that ever lived. Even non-Catholics know about him. Our Pope, Pope Francis, took the name Francis, named after Francis of Assisi. But the beginning of his conversion all happened through suffering. Same in my own life. I wouldn't call myself a prodigal, but in some ways I was that way. I had fallen away from the church and lived the partying lifestyle and, you know, loved the good life. And as a teenager, I dated and did all that type stuff. Then went through a tremendous loneliness because of a breakup with a girl. Billy Graham called this a cosmic loneliness. It's a loneliness for God that we all have deep within. And I started experiencing that. I had a bottoming out experience in my own life. And it was very difficult. But that led, that suffering, that pain led to a conversion for me. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I had that embrace of the Father. I was welcomed back. And it's the same in anybody's life that seeks God. Maybe you're going through a hard time. You feel that cosmic loneliness. You've had a bottoming out. I want to tell you that there's an embrace, a kiss. God will kill the fatted calf for you. There's more joy in heaven over somebody who comes back. And maybe you identify yourself with the older son who has no need of coming back because you've been there all the time. Well, rejoice in those who are coming back and realize that, as God said, everything that I have is yours. So maybe you haven't felt baptism in the Holy Spirit or rebirth or conversion. Well, maybe you don't need that. What you need is faithfulness and to realize that God loves you too. So this parable really is for everybody. And as I've said before in other episodes, Lent is a season of grace. Grace meaning lavish gift, God's initiative, God lavishing recklessly his love upon us. And so Francis was touched. This young man was touched in the story, the prodigal son. I was touched by God's amazing grace. You know, you've all heard that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved and set me free. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And as you watch this program, I want you to realize that there's amazing grace for you right now. This is the fourth week of Lent. We're right in the middle of Lent. And in the middle of Lent, we have this beautiful story calling us back, calling us to receive God's amazing grace. And I love this story because it tells exactly what God is doing, because sometimes people say, well, that's great, Father Cedric, but I don't sense God in my life right now. What is God doing in my life? And this story tells us exactly what God is doing. He's watching and waiting. He's waiting for you to come back. Remember that song, Hosea? You've probably heard it. Long have I waited for your coming home to me and sharing deeply our new life. And for some of you, long, long have I waited for your coming home to me. One of the greatest experiences of my priesthood has been the sacrament of reconciliation. That's exactly what we had in the second reading today during Lent, the fourth week of Lent. I am an ambassador for Christ, God appealing through me. I beseech you, I beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So the sacrament of reconciliation is something amazing. And I've seen people come to me with their sins, very vulnerable, very open, and I've seen God's embrace as a priest more than anything. In the sacrament of reconciliation, I try to be gentle, I try to be compassionate. I try to be soft, because that's exactly what's happening. And the church is offering this to you right now, wherever you are. Perhaps you've fallen away, you haven't been coming, come on back. Perhaps you've been going to church and you haven't been to reconciliation in many years, come on back. Maybe you're a person who's addicted to alcohol or another substance, could be drugs or pornography or gambling, whatever it is, make a move. Face your addiction. God will welcome you back. God will help you to come into recovery. And so I remember the story of the prodigal son. There's a book written by the late Father Henri Nouwen. And he wrote a book called The Return of the Prodigal, because he saw a painting by Rembrandt of The Return of the Prodigal. In this painting, here's the son kneeling before the father, and the father puts his hands in an embrace on his shoulders, around his neck. And Henri Nouwen looked at that portrait and he noticed something about the father's hands. The left hand was larger than the right. And he interpreted it as being that God is both stereotypically feminine and masculine. The left hand being larger, the father being strong and protective and powerful, but the right hand was smaller, softer, more feminine in appearance, interpreted it as God is soft and gentle, compassionate, very welcoming. And God is all that. So when you come to God, you can expect him being merciful, kind, compassionate, and gentle. So in the first reading, we've heard about the reproach of Egypt. And God says, I have removed from you the reproach of Egypt. Well, what was the reproach of Egypt? Remember, they were slaves for many years in Egypt. And when they came out of Egypt, they still have that slave mentality. They had a low self-esteem. They felt like slaves. They didn't feel as good as other people. When they got to the promised land, they felt like grasshoppers. And God says, I've removed the reproach. When we go to confession, that's exactly what happens. James tells us, confess your sins that you may be healed. So if you have a reproach of shame or guilt or low self-esteem or inner condemnation, you can expect healing. You can expect blessing. I love what it says in the scriptures. God says through the prophet Micah, "I have cast your sins into the depths of the sea. I will remember your sins no more." So there's a tremendous gentleness there, a tremendous mercy. So this is what the parable is all about. It's all about someone who is lost being found. It's all about healing and grace. And remember, the father lavishes his love upon the son, the daughter, a robe, a ring, sandals, the fatted calf. In other words, you belong. You're part of the family. You're no longer cut off from grace. So Lent is a season of grace. It's a time of tremendous mercy. It's a time where the lost are found. As an ambassador of Jesus Christ, I beseech you, I beg you, be reconciled to God. If you are addicted, now is your time to make a move. If you've been away from the church, now is your time to come back. If it has been a long time or even a short time since you've been to confession and you know you need to go, be reconciled to God. And the parable ends with a great celebration, and that's exactly what the sacrament of reconciliation is. That's exactly what Mass is. It's exactly what every sacrament is. It's a celebration with great joy. And I know that when you are lost, you will be found, and you will have joy untold. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This is Father Cedric Pezzegna. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs. You can listen to more podcasts. You can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.